Okay, so welcome to our next talk by Walter, who's going to talk us about Nostru notes and other stuff transmitted by relays. Please help me give them a warm welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. I'm going to talk about Nostru. This is, I think, the first time somebody's talking about Nostru, like on a stage outside of our little Nostru bubble. We have our little Nostru events and conferences and stuff, but this time it's like for a general audience and open source developers at that, so that's pretty cool. I'm going to be standing mostly behind my laptop, unfortunately, because I'm going to be spate running through my slides. You can basically ignore the slides, just listen to my talk. I'm going to do that in order to make sure that I'm keeping like on track and on pace, so I keep time to answer a bunch of questions. So please keep your questions in mind, come up with questions, and we'll have a bit of a discussion afterwards. So because this is like Nostru outside of its own little environment, I'm going to do the obligatory show of hands thing. So please raise your hand if you've heard of Nostru before. All right, and keep your hand up if, and only if, you've used Nostru before. Okay, and you can keep your hand up if you think you understand Nostru. All right, perfect. Very quickly about me, Wouter Constant. I love StarCraft Brood War, and if you wonder why I'm the guy that's standing here, that's partly the reason. And for all the rest, just go with it. Okay, let's go. So this presentation, I'm mostly going to be talking about three things, like the story has like three parts. First, I'm going to be focusing on this paradigm shift. From that, we're going to flow into Nostru, and then I'm going to try to argue why I think this is actually going to work. There was a part before this that I mostly just cut out in the interest of time that I'm shortly going to address right now, or not right now. We're just going to talk about Nostru. So Nostru notes and other stuff transmitted by relays. Was invented by some guy at the end of 2019, and the opening statement pretty much sums it up, which is, it's the simplest open protocol that is able to create a censorship-resistant global social network once and for all. It doesn't rely on trusted central servers, hence it is resilient. It is based on cryptographic keys and signatures, so it is tamper-proof. It does not rely on peer-to-peer techniques, therefore it works. All right, so briefly, I'm going to talk about platforms because it's a social media thing, right? And the reason I cut it out is because all the problems with social media and the central platforms pretty much top of mind. And I guess with just this audience, most people understand what's going on. So, but you know, why do we use these platforms in the first place? Well, apparently because hosting websites is too hard, right? We could have all just hosted our own personal website and do stuff by that way. We didn't. We all went to one particular website named Facebook or whatever and started to make pages there. So what do these platforms actually do? In general, they do three main things. They manage identity and networks, right? So this is your account and the people you follow and people following you. They host data, so this is your physical infrastructure of making sure that people get the pictures and videos and whatever. And the last part I call indexing. So this is your search. These are your suggestion algorithms and your feed, all that type of stuff. So what is the result of the fact that we're all using these platforms is that they've captured network effect, right? That's where the value is. Everybody's there because everybody's there. But we also incur this censorship risk, right? We're at the behest of these central platforms and they can kick us off and then we lost our identity and our network and our data, etc. All right, so let's go into this paradigm shift. And talking about this paradigm shift, I'm talking about names, right? So the core of the paradigm shift is the use of asymmetric cryptography or public private key pairs. And the thing is about names. So there is this notion of a Zuko's triangle. It's the deal where there are three aspects. You can only pick two. It's about, you have one is human meaningful, right? So this is a name that you can understand. For instance, Bob. Bob is a very understandable name. You have this notion on the bottom left. It's decentralized. This basically means that you're able to create the name yourself instead of getting the name assigned by some central authority. And the last part at the bottom right is secure. And this means basically that the name is unique. right? That if you interact with that particular name, you're sure that you're actually interacting with like that particular person and not somebody else. So because this is a game of you can only pick two, we get like these options. So we have human meaningful and secure. So that's the bottom. That's the top one. It's like official, this official seal of approval. So this is the one and only Bob, right? There's no other Bob. This is Bob. We have human meaningful and decentralized. That results in, oh, there's a little quirk in, in the slide. But it results in Bob, 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 and another Bob, right? So there are Bobs everywhere. It's very human meaningful. It's also very decentralized, but not very secure. And lastly, we have decentralized and secure. So this is based on these key pairs, and that just creates this random string. Now, if we are trying to solve central platforms, we want something that is decentralized, and we also want something that is secure. So just by sheer of like elimination, we're kind of coming out at the bottom, right? So if you want to do a naming scheme, we're going to have to do it this way. The thing is that public-private key pairs suck. They're absolutely terrible. You shouldn't use them. We're going to use them, but you shouldn't use them. And why? Because the problem is that you have this private key. This is a secret. And the thing is that you have to keep this secret super-duper safe. And on the other hand, we're trying to use it in our protocol or in our system, so you also have to use it all the time. And these two things are in conflict, because if you want to keep something safe, you want to like restrict access. And if you want to use it all the time, you want to optimize for accessibility. So now we want to optimize for accessibility and want to minimize accessibility, and these two things like are in conflict, obviously. So we have to manage that, and we have to manage that in a context that we're dealing with something that is not made for humans, it's made for machines. So there are a lot of mitigating factors to this. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go into this now. If you have questions about it, shoot, we can talk about it. Let me take a sip of water. Now, we actually gain a bunch of this by using this system. And what we get is tamper-proofing. So when we use these cryptographic keys, we sign things. And by the fact that they're signed, we can now verify that things are actually true. And as a result, we're no longer trusting middlemen. So it doesn't matter where data comes from if data is signed, because data is signed at the source and can be verified at the endpoint. So the steps that in between, or where the data comes from, or who's carrying the data, they cannot tamper with the data anymore, because otherwise it becomes invalid. And this means that it now, the data has it's carrying its own context. It becomes its own little thing. And what I mean by this, I can illustrate by this, how this situation works now, which is that we're kind of stuck in place in time with the question of what is an Instagram post? So I can assure you that this is not an Instagram post. This is a picture that supposedly is an Instagram post. What makes an Instagram post is the fact that it came from Instagram.com. And that's the only way you can make sure that an Instagram post is an Instagram post, is that it came from Instagram.com. And that username is actually a valid username. That's Instagram.com telling you that as that username. So we're stuck in this place called Instagram.com. And we're also stuck in time, because you have this time window up until that Instagram.com actually exists. The moment Instagram.com doesn't exist anymore, your time window to verify that some Instagram post actually was authentic is over, right? Because the authority is dead, so at that stage, you're lost. Now, let's get going to Noster. So what is Noster? Noster is signed JSON over WebSockets. End of presentation. So this is it. For the most part, we gave people papers. This also contains this thing and like a bunch of other stuff. But this is Noster, so this is a bunch of JSON. And let's go over it. So let's start at the second thing, which is the pub key, right? So these are your key pairs. So this is the public key. And this represents the author of the event. We call these JSON things, we call them events. And the second one is the created at. So this is a timestamp where supposedly this event is created. The kind, the third one, the fourth one is that. The kind, that's it's a number, it's just a way to specify what type of event it is. Events can be all kinds of things, and this is a simple number system to reference what it's supposed to be. And then we have like the actual meat of the event, like what's going on, that's separated in two parts. We have tags and we have content. Just think of tags as like structured data meant for machines, and the content like stuff that is actually meant for humans. And then we go to the top. We have the ID. So this is the event ID. And that's just basically the name of the event, of the reference number for the event created by hashing all we've had before. And at the bottom, we have the signature. So we take our private key, and we sign the hash. And that way, we ensure that actually we are the author that is specified in the public key. And that way, the outside world can actually verify that this event, this Nostr event, is authentic. All right, now, in terms of like the protocol, you can look at the sheet. There's a bunch of things there, but for the most part, this is it. And I kind of want to go into like, is this an invention or is this a discovery? So technically, I'm not going to do the technical argument. It is an invention. But I'm kind of arguing here that it's a discovery for the reason that I started out saying like there's a paradigm shift, and we start this paradigm shift because we are beginning with using public-private keys. And from using these public-private keys, there is this logic unfolding. And the only little hurdle that we're going to have to set is that, okay, we're going to have to set a standard for a data format, we're going to have to set a standard for the cryptography, and we're going to have some standard for data exchange. And it just so happens to be JSON, SHA-256, and Schnorr, and WebSockets. I guess the point is that it could have been something else. It isn't, right? The point is also that it isn't. The point is that it is JSON, it is SHA-256, and Schnorr, because otherwise it's not a standard, right? So it could have been something else. It isn't. Deal with it. If you dislike the fact that it's JSON, I'm very sorry. It's not going to change. Just deal with it. Look, I mean, the thing is, it's not that important, right? It could have been something else. It's fine. Now, you'd probably think to yourself, if this is the entire protocol, and people want to build like social media out of it, or other types of applications, how do you do, whatever. Like, the Nostr protocol is going to respond. It's like, I don't care how you want to do things. You'll figure it out. The protocol as such doesn't specify a whole lot of things. And that's great, because it gives you room to figure out those things for yourself. I'm going to help you, because we're going to figure out. This thing has existed for a couple of years now. We've figured a bunch of things out. So let's go back to the platform thing, and there are three functions, right? We have the identity in the network, we have hosting, and we have indexing, and we've using these public-private keys, we basically covered two already. We covered the first one, which is identity in network. So that's your public-private keys, right? So I can create my own identity. That's my own identity, and then I can just follow these other public keys. And that way I can maintain my own network. So I don't need the accounting of a platform anymore for that. And because, as I explained, these Nostr events are their own self-contained thing. They're not location dependent anymore. We also kind of fix this hosting in terms of that it's not centralized anymore. We can actually decentralize and distribute this hosting problem because it doesn't matter where stuff is hosted. It can be hosted anywhere. And then the last part in terms of like the indexing, so this is your search, and your suggestion algorithms and all this type of stuff, your feed. Now, let's go into that. How are we going to fix that? Well, first, we have like a fundamental question, right? How do we find anything, really? Especially if there's nothing specified about it. Well, the saving grace about using these public-private keys and hashing stuff is that we're using with unique identifiers. So we have unique identifiers for the events. We have unique names in terms of using public keys. So because they're unique, you know what you're actually looking for, and you also recognize once you've found it, right? Because you can verify the thing. And this is very important because let's say you have nothing to go off. This is at least something you can go off on, is that once you've found it, you at least know that you found it. And then we can build on top of that. We can just simply say, well, I can just tell you where you can find my stuff, and I can sign that message, and that way you can know that it's authentic, and that way you're not being fooled. So the fact that things are signed, it's like it gives you a way to differentiate between signal and noise, right? So now I can just tell you where I can find my stuff, or where you can find my stuff, and I can put that, for example, in like a public repository, where everybody else is like a convention that everybody just puts this type of information, where you can find their stuff, onto this public repository. And now we've probably like covered 90% of the problem of like where can you find my stuff. So this is the basic thing. We don't have to create all these difficult or complex things to try to get like the 99th percentile of the problem of finding things. No, this very simple basic thing will probably cover like the most of it, and then maybe for that last part you'll either do more effort or we'll make more complex things. We'll see later. So as a small aside, well, we're talking about Nosser, and Nosser is like these JSON events. It's a bunch of text, right? But there are also other things out there in the world, like pictures and videos and files and programs and whatever. We're kind of, like in hindsight, basically figured that we can do the same for that. You just hash the thing. It now has a unique identifier. Therefore, it doesn't matter where it's hosted anymore. And we'll just use the same logic of giving you hints as to where you can find it.